The following program is a production of Holy Spirit Radio.
Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now, here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. Betty and I are very happy to join you at the beginning of this new year, 2008, even though we're 18 days into January, but since we fall on the third Friday of the month, we couldn't be here a little bit earlier to wish you a happy new year, so we'll do it today. And as always, Betty will open with a prayer, and I would mention that this prayer is one that we will be repeating throughout the year because it's a prayer for national elections. And since we're in a very important election year that will involve electing the next president of the United States, that could affect a lot of pro-life issues, we would appreciate your using this prayer and repeating it throughout the year. And if you want a copy, I'll make sure that Patrick has it to put online so that you can come to the website of the radio program and pick it up and print it out so that you can say it throughout the year when you're in prayer, especially in the Adoration Chapel.
And good afternoon, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, we acknowledge you today as Lord, not only of individuals, but of nations and governments. We thank you for your law, which our founding fathers acknowledged and recognized as higher than any human law. Lord, we pray that your people may be awakened to know that they are not called to be a sect, fleeing the world, but rather a community of faith renewing the world. Awaken your people to a commitment to justice, to the sanctity of marriage and family, to the dignity of each individual human life, and to the truth that human rights begin with human lives when human lives begin and not one moment later. Lord, we rejoice today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May they make us all the more committed to being faithful citizens on earth. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Because it's a new year, we're dividing the program essentially into two segments, and similar to what you might hear on some local talk radio shows, we are taking a page out of their book, and we will be having a guest host calling in the second half of the program to advertise a Lenten program, which you may ask, what does that have to do with natural family planning? But in addition to natural family planning, we also do topics that are pro-life. And the first half of our program is going to be in reference to some pro-life issues, especially in anticipation of the pro-life march coming up next week. And so we wanted to give our call-in guest an opportunity to discuss a special topic. And since Lent is coming up so early this year, I mean, I can't believe today's January 18th and Ash Wednesday is February 6th. We're only about 3 weeks away from the beginning of Lent. And it just seems like 2 weeks ago was the Feast of the Epiphany.
Right.
And Christmas season.
I'm still seeing Christmas trees at the curb.
So what we've decided to do is we've decided to discuss some pro-life issues and bring to you some news and some items that may be of interest to you and discuss some topics that you may desire to call in on or get further information from. And our call-in number, since we're live, is 215-345-1570. So feel free to call at any point in time. And if you have a comment or a question about any of the things that we're going to talk about, then, you know, you can just give us a buzz, and we'll be more than happy to take your call. Before we get started in talking about pro-life, I want to read to you, or have Betty read to you, some information from the Catechism of the Catholic Church about human life.
And this is from Article 5 from the Fifth Commandment. And it says, human life is sacred because from its beginnings it involves the creative action of God, and it remains forever in a special relationship with the Creator, who is its sole end. God alone is the Lord of life from its beginning until its end. No one can understand any circumstance claim for himself the right directly to destroy a human being.
So we bring that up because we want to make and emphasize the fact that human life begins, and we've talked about this before when we've done some programs on stem cell and issues such as that, that it begins at the moment of fertilization. As soon as the egg and sperm come together, that is the beginning of life. That definition actually exists in every embryology text, every anatomy book, and every current scientifically written textbook that studies and deals with the topic. The differences in relationship to defining the beginning of life come about as a result of, interestingly, from a historical purpose, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, a case that went before the United States Supreme Court in 1992, where the Supreme Court defined life as beginning at the moment of implantation, which is about 5 days after fertilization. As a result of that and following that, the American College of OBGYN, the American College of Pediatricians, and other organizations have jumped on that bandwagon and now use that definition. And people who are pro-life need to make sure that when you are having a conversation with anyone and you are discussing life, always discuss the definition. Start out with the beginning and the definition. Don't let anyone say, well, it's when the child is born and comes into the world. Don't let anyone say, well, it's when the soul goes into the child 2 weeks after the child's fertilized. Don't let any, and I'm not telling you that that's when the soul goes into the body, because we don't know that. Don't let anyone say it's when the baby reaches viability, meaning that it could live outside the uterus. None of those are appropriate definitions, but they are all excuses that are man-made modifications of the definition. And the important aspect of what Betty read is that this life is sacred, and these lives that are created by God will exist for all eternity. And so it's important for us to be able to be aware of that, to let you know that that's what you need to be talking about when you're having conversations. So in anticipation of the pro-life march, and it's now its 36th year, it's happening on January 22nd. Betty's going to make some announcements of a couple of things that are coming up in anticipation of the pro-life march.
And for our listeners, if you have any information about any pro-life activities revolving around the pro-life march for next week, please call us. Let us know. We'd love to spread that wealth of information at 215-345-1570. Give us a call. Let us know, you know, if your parish is doing anything special, if you need more people on your bus from your parish, call us and we'll help to promote that for you. Our Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish in Andorra is going to sponsor a vigil for life with Eucharistic adoration from 8 a.m. Friday, January 18th through 8 a.m. Saturday, January 19th. To sign up for more information, call 215-483-8204. And Cardinal Justin Regali will conduct the Helpers of God's Precious Infant Vigil for Life on Saturday, January 19th, following the 7 a.m. Mass at St. John the Evangelist Church in Center City. And the Cardinal and other members of the clergy and congregation will pray the rosary at a nearby abortion center and then to return to St. John's for benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, these two events were in the Catholic Standard this week, but I know that there are a lot of Bucks County parishes that are having buses going down to the march. If you have information from your parish and you would like to promote that, please give us a call, 215-345-1570. St. Ignatius has a bus going down, and I think they may even have a few spots left. So if you're interested...
I think there were four seats left on the bus, and they're going to start with 6:30 Mass, and the bus will be leaving from the parking lot at St. Ignatius of Antioch in Yardley at about 7:15, and we'll be returning home around 7:30 p.m. in the evening. If you've never been on one, it's an amazing experience to be around several hundred thousand American citizens of this country. And I only wish and hope and pray to God that that many people would go out and vote pro-life in the elections. And you would be edified, and Betty can speak to her experience of this in the last couple of years, about the number of seminarians and young men and women and college students.
And religious sisters, I mean, in their 20s. I was so amazed at the amount of religious that were there to promote pro-life and encouraged that these young people are seeking these vocations. It was so uplifting and amazing. It gave me great, great hope.
And some of these buses drive 18 hours from Kansas and from distant locations straight on through to D.C. They set up a little camp in the basement of the Immaculate Conception Cathedral. The students from Catholic University pro-life group host the encampment, if you will, in that basement. They get them beverages, they get them some blankets and sleeping bags and accommodations, and the people brave the cold. Last year it was rainy and windy and pretty cold throughout the entire day, and for us it's about a 3-hour trip down and a 3-hour trip back, and but it's a lot of fun. You're on a bus with a group of people that share their reverence for the sanctity of life. They share their belief that life begins at conception. They are willing to give up their jobs for the day and leave their homes for the day. We have families that go down with their children.
Little children, and it's just amazing. And they never complain or anything. They're happy to be there. And it's a beautiful thing that a lot of Catholics and non-Catholics, I mean, Christian people, come together to protest this terrible abortion. And it's so uplifting to know, because those people who are in the fight every single day trying to fight this terrible law, it does lift them up to realize that there are other people out there that promote this.
And it's done in a way that is very calm.
Oh, yeah.
And very orderly. Mm-hmm. And everyone is polite to everyone. There are the usual perfunctory protesters shouting from the sidewalks and holding up inappropriate signs. And as we march, we pray the rosary or say other prayers. There are large groups from the Knights of Columbus. There are large groups from Catholic youth organizations. There are large groups from various colleges, and they march as a group. Sometimes they all wear the same color, and we march down Constitution Avenue to the Supreme Court and stand outside the Supreme Court. There are quite a few people who attend the march who go in to set up appointments with their local senators and representatives from their districts, and we will discuss some of those issues. We have a congressional race coming up in Bucks County here this year, and speaking of elections, that's very important from an individual who is currently in office who proclaims to be pro-life, yet his voting record does not sustain that claim when he gets into the Senate and votes. So we're going to have some perhaps new blood that will be running in that election, and that election will be coming up in 2008. Unfortunately, we don't get a lot of people that go out and exercise their right to vote as they should. We've spoken about that before, and we will have a full program on voting later on in the year as we get a little bit closer to the election that actually speaks to the morality of your requirements to go out and fulfill your obligation to vote. So if you're interested in taking a day off from work and evangelizing by showing physically and demonstrably, but in a calm and peaceful way, that you do not agree with our country's decision to legalize murder and kill the future of our children, then please make arrangements to join us on the pro-life march as we go to Washington, D.C., and try to get our Supreme Court and our government to overturn Roe v. Wade. And Betty's going to read a little announcement in our pro-life union newsletter.
And before I do that, if you do go to the march or you've been there before and you're listening out there, give us a call. Let us know what you think and what you might have to say to our listeners about being participating in the march. And call us at 215-345-1570. And this is from the Pro-Life Union, and regarding Roe versus Wade. And yet again, we mark the day which, through surgical abortions, has lost the lives of over 48 million Americans. 48 million abortions. More than lost in all the wars combined. As we begin the 35th year of this American Holocaust, we look to our Creator for more wisdom and endurance. The march in D.C. will begin at noon on Tuesday, January 22nd, and Catholics from our area are invited to attend Mass with Cardinal Regali at St. John's, the evangelist, in Silver Springs, Maryland at 10:30 a.m., and that's on the way to Washington. Locally, the day will be commemorated on Friday, January 18th, at the Philadelphia City Hall, beginning at noon. A one-hour program led by religious and civic leaders will take place, and our five-county area of Southeast PA has suffered terribly from surgical abortions. In the 10 years, 96 to 05, preborn children, 201,026 preborn children have perished. Their mothers are scarred. All citizens are welcome to join and stand up for life. Those attending the D.C. march and those who are unable. So a lot of the parishes, if you're unable to attend the march or go on the bus, you're physically unable or you just can't because you're at work or you have small children, most of our parishes are going to have a holy hour. There'll be coverage on EWTN. Holy Spirit Radio will have some coverage about this. So please participate. Even in your own little way, in your own home, just watching EWTN, some way, somehow, just to give prayerful remembrance to these souls that have been destroyed through abortion.
And a little bit more specific information referable to what Betty just read. These abortions that are occurring are not only killing children, and it boggles my mind that it's 48 million. I mean, that's an entire generation of people. And there was a cartoon that occurred in a column of a newspaper one time where a Jewish rabbi was in tears, in prayer, lamenting to God and asking God, Why do you send us war? Why do you send us all this disease? Why do you send us all this death? Why can't you send us someone to lead us in peace? Why can't you send us someone that would discover the cure for cancer? Why can't you send us someone that would discover the cure for AIDS? Why can't you send us someone that will lead our country and lead our world and help us and organize us and bring peace to the world? And the voice comes down from heaven, and it's God's voice, and he says, I did send them, but you aborted them. We don't know what we're doing when we kill these children, except that we're killing the future generation of our world. The circumstances surrounding the decision-making process in which a woman finds herself that might be led to distress, that would be led by the evil one to make this decision. There are crisis pregnancy centers all around the Philadelphia area, as well as all around the country, that are available to provide counseling, information, support, and diversion away from doing these abortions. And then beyond that, yes, there were 48 million children that were killed, but there are 48 million women who are currently in the United States who are suffering from post-abortion trauma syndrome, depression, anxiety, and significant illnesses in their lives as a result of their guilt and their not being able to resolve their decision to kill their child and take their child's life. And you may not think about it when you're 18 or 20 or 22 years old, but I see patients in my office that are in their mid to late 40s and 50s that are married and have children and have families, and they come in depressed, and we start talking, and ultimately in their medical history, it gets back to where they had an abortion when they were teenagers, and they've never really grieved over that loss and never resolved that loss. So we need to pray for these people. We need to pray for an end to abortion. We need to vote conscientiously, inform our conscience properly. And in order to help us do that, the United States Catholic Conference and Bishops came out with a new document that was issued November 14th of 2007. And this document is available on the USCCB website. And it's called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, A Call to Political Responsibility from the Catholic Bishops in the United States. And it basically summarizes, why does the church teach about issues affecting public policy? Who in the church should participate in political life? How does the church help the faithful address social and political questions? What does the church say about Catholic social teaching in the public square? And it reviews seven key themes, including the right to life and the dignity of the human person. And then they come up with a conclusion. And it's this document that they provided that is intended to help guide Catholics and Christians throughout the country to properly form their consciences, so that when they go in the voting booth next November to vote for the next president of the United States and the next senator in the 8th district of Bucks County, up here in where we are in Bucks County and parts of Montgomery County in Northeast Philadelphia that's represented by that district, that you have a properly formed conscience, you know what the church teaches, and anybody that sits there and says that the church does not provide the adequate information for people to know what it is that they need to know and do what it is that they need to do within the political and social climate of our secular world, then they are gravely, gravely mistaken. Betty can sit here and tell you how thick this document is.
Quite large.
It's 44 pages long. It is completely referenced with appropriate references to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, to encyclicals that are written by the popes, and to direction that's given from the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith and other organizations in the Catholic Church on every topic that goes from social security, health care, social justice, war, family life, marriage, human life, abortion, euthanasia, stem cell, cloning, the rights of workers, options for the poor and the vulnerable, the right to life and the dignity of the human person. Every topic is summarized in this document. So if you want to access this, it's Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. I would strongly encourage you to go to the USCCB website. It's usccb.org, and you can access that document and read through it and prepare for this election coming up. Now, in reference to some of the changes politically going on, we're going to make a couple of other announcements referable to Plan B. You all know that we did a program several months ago on the morning after pill or Plan B, and there Betty was telling me, what were you telling me when we were in the car on the way up here about the abortion rate and Plan B? You heard?
Oh, I heard on the radio, on the secular media, that the rate of
abortions
has gone down, and they stated that in part it is in part to the morning after pill.
And yet, there's no scientific evidence documented anywhere in any literature, including countries where the morning after pill or Plan B is over the counter without a prescription for over 5 years, and including in studies where it was provided free as a future supply for women to immediately access, that there's any decrease in abortions, there's any decrease in unplanned pregnancies, there's any decrease in sexually transmitted diseases. None of that is scientifically or factually documented, and yet there is an agenda out there that is trying to push this product, and as you know, it is legal in the United States now, over the counter, without a prescription, these strong hormonal contraceptives that can be accessed by 18-year-old girls and above with ID, but it doesn't mean that they can't, a younger girl couldn't send in, you know, somebody older to get the pill for her. And it especially empowers, as we discussed here on this program before, men to take advantage of younger girls by providing them access as a security blanket and saying, here, you don't have to worry about getting pregnant if we're sexually active. We don't have to use a condom. You can just take this pill and nothing's going to happen. So there was an article that appeared this week in the National Catholic Register involving one of our states that Betty will...
Right, and this is has to do with pharmacists and the religious liberty and conscience of a pharmacist. And a federal judge in Seattle ruled that state regulations requiring pharmacists to stock and supply contraceptives, including Plan B emergency contraceptive, even when it was contrary to the religious beliefs, that it's unconstitutional. So the federal judge is stating that these pharmacists do not have to supply this. Right now they're saying that it's unconstitutional to force this to happen with these pharmacists, because I think movement going on across the country with pharmacists. They're the ones that are being put upon to prescribe or supply these young women with these, you know, contraceptive pills, devices, whatever. And they don't want to be put in the middle like that. They don't want to be the person that is promoting this this horrendous act of abortion.
And there are about 13 states that have already passed laws mandating that pharmacists cannot use personal conscience clauses to not prescribe birth control pills or the morning after pill. And one of the more specific ones that's hit the news a little bit more is the governor of Illinois mandating. And pharmacists have actually quit their jobs with certain pharmacies in that state. And they are now gathering together with the support of organizations like the Catholic Medical Association, the Christian Dental and Medical Association, the Catholic Pharmacy Pharmaceutical Association, to sue governments for violating their constitutional right to be able to practice their faith and their religion in the workplace. We already know, and we talked about several months ago, Connecticut mandating and passing a law, and the four Catholic bishops up there caving in.
Ooh, yeah.
And reversing their position and their decision on the morning after pill, that Catholic hospitals must provide the morning after pill in the emergency room to rape victims. So you can see that throughout our country, in each individual state, there is an insidious movement by the evil one to create scenarios through political mechanisms, and good people with good Christian and Catholic consciences are not going out to the voting booths and electing pro-life senators, representatives, and presidents of the United States to be able to protect us and protect our daughters and our children and the future of this country and the future of the world. And if we don't start getting our act together, we are going to suffer greatly in the future. Another issue that came up earlier this week in Portland, Oregon, and I might add that the Conscience Clause was also in Oregon, and I might also add that Oregon is a state and the only state in the country that has legalized doctor-assisted suicide and euthanasia. I'm sorry, the first one was in Seattle, Washington. This one's in Portland, Oregon, where a federal judge blocked the Oregon's domestic partnership law for homosexuals, which was supposed to take effect January 1st, saying opponents would have a chance, should have a chance, to make their case for a statewide election. And I think the more often that this is brought to the general population and the more often that this is put to a general election, it will stimulate more discussion and more action, and people will come and vote, and people will be able to rule as the majority, but we need to get out there and vote. We want to take an opportunity before our caller calls in to announce our Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network conference, which is coming up on March the 1st. So, Betty, why don't you...
Right. Well, I want you to mark your calendar, and everybody attend. If you can't attend, let your parish know that there is going to be a conference at St. Mary Medical Center in Langhorne on Saturday, March the 1st. And the topic and the theme is marriage prep in the modern world. So if you're on a pre-Cana team or you know anybody that's on a pre-Cana team, your parish priests that want to get more information about presenting pre-Cana, please sign up for this conference. And you can go to the pnfpn.org to sign up and register, or contact WISP Radio, 1570 AM, and they'll have the information also. But it's pnfpn.org. And the marriage prep in the modern world. We're really excited about this conference this year. We're going to have pre-Cana. Some of the topics are going to be pre-Cana in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And our speaker is going to be Dominic Lombardi, who's the head of the Family Life Office for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We're going to have spirituality in pre-Cana, and we're going to have Steve Boza, who's the head of the Family Life Office in Camden, and one of our heavy hitter speakers, I guess we would say, is God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage. We're going to have Matt Pinto. He's going to come and do that presentation and speak about this book that has been, this new program that has come about for pre-Cana. Again, God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage. And then we're going to have NFP in Marriage Prep with Lisa Ann and Michael Castagna. And Lisa Ann also works for the Family Life Office, and she's the NFP person at the Family Life Office. And we're going to have three to get married, and we're going to have a couple that does the presentation, Kelly and Tom Imperdio.
And
Imperato, sorry about that, Kelly and Tom. And three to get married, the priest perspective. And we're going to have Father Jason Wallace. Well, I got a bad lisp here. Father Jason Wallace who's a Legionnaire of Christ. And then we're going to have the final talk, where are we going in marriage prep? We want pastors, we want priests, we want deacons, we want seminarians, we want religious educators, DREs, we want NFP instructors, marriage prep facilitators, and all interested couples to attend this conference. You won't be sorry. It's so inexpensive. You're going to get breakfast and lunch. It's $15 a person, $25 a couple. If you're religious, it's only $10. And we would love for you to attend. PNFPN.org to register, or call the radio station WISP 215-345-1570. If you hear this message, please spread it to your parish. And hopefully more parishes will get more information on this, and we're going to try and get the word out. This is our first big announcement. We're going to have a big mailing this week. And if you receive something like this in the mail, spread the wealth, spread the good news, spread this, you know, information out, and let people know that this conference is coming March 1st, Saturday, at St. Mary Medical Center.
And if you need a flyer announcement for your church bulletin, and we would appreciate you considering that, go to the website at pnfpn.org and download and print out that flyer, which is already on the website, advertising the program as well as the registration form. And you can put it in your parish bulletin and put it in there now and let people be aware that it's coming up in a couple of weeks. March 1st is be here before you know it. It's only a couple of weeks away. And we felt as a group that this topic was particularly important because we have such a high divorce rate, and we feel that people are so inappropriately prepared for marriage from a spiritual point of view and from knowing what the church teaches point of view. They think it's all about the wedding and the dress and the tuxedos and the honeymoon and the reception and what color the napkins are and how big the chicken is on the plate and how many tears are in the cake and you know the paper on the invitations. And
well, you know what, too, I'm noticing lately, a lot of our friends' children are getting married, and they're all going through these marriages with all different circumstances, marrying someone out of the faith or wanting to have a destination wedding.
Beach.
And they're getting confused with the spirituality of it all, and they get very upset with what the church teaches. Because they don't
angry.
They don't know what the church teaches.
Or why.
And why. And how important this is as a Catholic to know who you're marrying, to understand each other, to share in a faith, and if you don't share in the same faith, just to understand that you are going to have some roadblocks and that the church is here to help you to get through these things and to get through your life. Not to harm you, not to be aggravating to you, but they want you to have a joy-filled marriage. And I don't think people realize that the church is really trying to be helpful, and they just think they're throwing in roadblocks all the time, and that's not the case. But we'd love to hear from you today. It's 215-345-1570. If you have any comment about marriage prep or pro-life, because this is the pro-life march coming up on Tuesday, January 22nd, we'd love to hear from you. 215-345-1570.
And the significance of this whole marriage prep thing, to get back to that for just a moment, you know, it's one of the seven sacraments. God didn't make everything a sacrament. Jesus didn't make everything a sacrament. And what the Catechism says about the sacrament of matrimony is that sacred scripture begins with the creation of man and woman in the image and likeness of God and concludes with the vision of the wedding feast of the Lamb. And scripture speaks throughout marriage that it's a mystery, it's institution, the meaning that God has given it, its origin, its end, its various realizations throughout the history of salvation, the difficulties arising from sin and the renewal in the Lord and the new covenant of Christ in the church. And the exciting thing about the program is that we're presenting three or four different aspects of how to approach marriage prep, how to make it better. What do we need to do to make it more attractive? What do we need to do to make it more interesting? What do we need to do to make it more interactive? This is kind of a working conference. And the exciting thing about it is that two of these programs are specifically related to the theology of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Both Three to Get Married and God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage revolve around the theology and the teachings of theology of the body. You know, people think that the church is anti-sex. Catholic Church is not anti-sex. The Catholic Church is very pro-sex, and they teach more about sexuality than any other institution or organization. But everybody thinks it's a bunch of rules and regulations and guides and things like that. So remember the PNFPN conference, March the 1st, St. Mary Medical Center, Langhorne. You can register online at pnfpn.org. And we have a phone call as we move into the second portion of our program now. We have about 17 or 18 minutes left, and I'm hoping that this is our guest caller. Is this Maggie Biggs?
How are you, Les and Betty?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Betty.
So let me just formally introduce you for just a moment. We can hear you loud and clear. And we just want to let our audience know that Maggie and her husband, Bob, are parishioners at St. Ignatius of Antioch. They have migrated from St. Magdalene's in Flemington about a year ago, and they have been very involved in ministry and very involved in a lot of organizations in the church. And Maggie and Bob are bringing to St. Ignatius what I consider to be a very exciting, a very interesting, and potentially very fulfilling program for Lent that combines both of some of our modern media presentation with scriptural reading and interpretation. So, Maggie, why don't you tell us a little bit about your program and what you and Bob have planned for the 4 weeks in Lent?
Okay, all righty. Well, We were part of a group, right? I don't remember when the Passion came out, but the Passion, the Study of the Christ, 5 years ago has it been?
Yeah, it's about 5 years now.
Which is just shocking. But when it came out, there were different study groups that had used several different types of books. The book that we're going to use is the 100 Questions about the Passion. And there's a format that we take for 4 weeks on Sunday nights at St. Ignatius, where we'll do like a half an hour of the Passion, and then after that break into small groups and do very pointed and very personal, intimate questions, but that can be shared with the whole group about that segment of the movie, and that combines scripture with it also. We have found in the past that people have just really made Lent come alive then, that Christ, you know, that was such a, I remember the anticipation that all of us had prior to the Passion coming out. And after we saw it, everyone was so profoundly touched. Well, Christ wants to be touched like that profoundly every year. And so this is an opportunity to really share with other adults all of those different dimensions that whole movie brought out, and a real special way to bring Christ very, very alive during Lent, especially through the suffering. And he meets us right where we are at, right here in this, you know, this century, all the struggles, the sufferings we have, and he can help us to see how his passionate love for us, why he went through that suffering, and combine it with our own. So it's a really special 4-week study, and oh, we are just so open to have anyone that in your listening area that wants to come, please contact St. Ignatius. We would love to have you join us. It'll start February 10th and run for those 4 weeks. We also, though, will be having the faith sharing with the Magnificat, which we've done for years also at St. Ignatius, and that has it's always been very fruitful. This year we're using the Magnificat, and they will bring in a lot of gospel reflections with, again, questions that'll enhance that whole walk that you have, that you're were to have with Christ during the whole Lent season. So we invite people to both, hoping they'll come.
And different than the Passion, Mag, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the faith sharing from the Magnificat are in private home sessions in small groups that read the Word and Scripture from the Magnificat. We'll have some prepared questions that will guide the discussion. It is not a Bible study. It is not a Scripture study. It is a reflection on the readings coming up for that Sunday, with some discussion and some integration into your life during Lent, and that the groups are forming now, that there are different groups for every night of the week, so that if you have a particular night that you may be free, you can contact the rectory at St. Ignatius at 215-493-3377 and let them know that you're interested in wanting to participate in one of the groups, and that you want to register, and tell them which night of the week that you're interested in, and you'll be put in contact. Or you can go to the website at St. Ignatius, which is
St. Ignatius Yardley.org.
Right.
So that's ST Ignatius Yardley.org.
And the registration forms and the information and the outline are all on the website. So it's very easy to access and register. You can sign up for one. You can sign up for both, like Betty and I have done. I've seen personally the Passion, the movie, The Passion, at least three times. I know that in order to participate, you do not have to see the movie if you would prefer not. And you can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I think we discussed that last week at our meeting, that if people feel uncomfortable, which some do, about the violence of watching our Lord Jesus suffer and die in that movie, it's too visually disturbing for some people, that they can skip the first half hour of the session and come just for the discussion and the question and answer session.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're excited. What was your experience? I know you and Bob have led it before. What kind of experience do you get pretty good verbal participation from the groups?
Oh, goodness. Absolutely. And in fact, you know, we try to combine it to just the 2 hours, but a lot of times we had to just, you know, stop it because people, I think now after seeing it and it being out for years, are much more comfortable to open up and really talk about how they've felt throughout the years about this. And so it's always been very well spoken, and people have a lot to say, which is exactly what Jesus wants us to do, is to talk about this and how it affects our lives. So we have found people very touched and really relate more to what he all went through for us after these discussions.
The questions that are posed to the study groups in discussing the questions, they all come from the book, The Guide to the Passion?
Yes, and the Ascension Press, at the very beginning when Passion came out, put out these questions. So
right.
It's a great way to study the book and have the answers there. But not only that, then come up with our own reflections about what it means in our own lives.
Is there any cost to the registration for either one of the programs?
No, absolutely none.
Okay. And what kind of materials will people get at the program for the Passion of the Christ?
We will provide the questions and such, and then there will be the small little book that's 100 questions about the Passion, and that will be available, and that's, of course, free of charge.
Okay, great. And how about for the Community and Disciples program, the study groups?
I do believe that's all free. St. Ignatius is putting the book bill here.
So there you go. Anybody that's interested in wanting to do something special for Lent besides giving up chocolate and cigarettes
yes.
and alcohol, can do something much more positive, although that all those things would help you lose a little weight and be healthier for you. But so we have two programs locally, both at St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish in Yardley. Every Sunday night for 4 weeks, beginning February 10th, The Passion of the Christ, a half hour of the movie in segments each week with an hour and a half discussion following. And then the smaller group discussions from the Magnificat on scripture readings for the week with reflections and prayer and study questions. So yes. Do I have that all right?
That sounds awesome. Yes, it's perfect.
Anything else you need to tell us?
No, except come.
We'll be there.
All righty.
You know Betty and I will be there. Thanks a lot for calling in, Maggie.
Thank you.
All right, take care and God bless. Have a great weekend.
Bye. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. We have another caller on the line. Stephanie is calling from Yardley.
Hi, Les. Hi, Betty.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks.
That's good. Congratulations on your new grandbabies, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
We've had a few in the last year and a half or so.
Oh, and guess what? We're having another one.
Oh, congratulations.
Our oldest son.
That's such a blessing.
Yeah, our oldest son. They're having their fifth child.
Wow.
Actually, their sixth child.
I should say.
So we're really feeling delighted, but
truly blessed. And that's part of this whole pro-life thing. You know, when you sit there as grandparents, we sit there with our grandchildren and we look at them and we say to ourselves, how could anybody go through and say, which one of them don't you want?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, which one of them do you want to just eliminate from the world and from your life? And you just can't come up with a logical answer. And I know that, you know, people are agonized over their decision-making process, but they just get the wrong counseling and go in the wrong direction. But so what can we do to help you? Do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah.
Or?
No, I do. Joe and I have newly been trained, not even really trained. We were kind of thrown into counseling the couples after they've done their focus.
Oh, okay.
And I was wondering if you had any advice on what to say to a couple who's cohabiting, and you have to deal with that, either at the focus or if you were going to have any sessions at your conference this year about that.
I'll start with the last question first. That is going to be discussed as a topic because that was requested by me personally to be brought up by the two gentlemen who are directors of the Family Life Office and also by Father Wallace in the Three to Get Married and as a priest spiritually, how he approaches and counsels the couples. In what we do, we have a copy of the Pennsylvania Bishop's Guide on Cohabitation, which enumerates the church teaching on cohabitation. And you have to be very gentle and very kind and very considerate in presenting that teaching and let them know that there is a way that they can stop the cohabitation prior to the marriage. And that is what they are being called to do, and give the reasons for why the church teaches what they teach about sexuality in the intimacy and sexuality section, which is a two-hour discussion in one of the four discussions that are presented at the marriage prep programs.
Mm-hmm, and that's similar to ours then, I think.
Pardon me?
That's similar to ours then.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, then I will say also that there's going to be a huge workshop, which I forgot to mention. This is the 40th anniversary of Humani Vitae, and there's going to be a conference over in Cherry Hill, New Jersey next July, which will be presenting a lot more information sponsored by Archdiocese of Philadelphia, Camden Diocese, USCCB, and the Knights of Columbus. A three-day workshop on marriage prep, Humani Vitae, the teachings of Humani Vitae, cohabitation, abortion, contraception, Paul VI, the whole nine yards. It's a difficult topic to address, but it has to be addressed with dignity and sensitivity, and you have to go to the couples where they are and not confront them and not challenge them and not convict them of sin. but let them know that there is a more beautiful and more dignified way of approaching their wedding day and their marriage and their sexuality and the meaning of it, and focus on the positive aspects and the positive teachings of the church. I'd get into it a little bit more with you, but we have about 45 seconds left. So if you need more info, just email me, and I'll be more than happy to send you some references and some more information.
And we'd love to see you come to the conference.
Yeah, come to the conference.
Yes, I would love to come to the conference.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks very
Stephanie.
Much for calling in.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Take care.
God bless.
So we covered a lot of information, a lot of topics, talked to a couple of people, had a couple of phone calls. Again, we'd like to invite you to the Pro-Life March, which is next Tuesday, January 22nd. If you need to get on a bus, call one of the local parishes, call the Pro-Life Union. They all have seats left. I know Bill Miller was talking about a bus going from his parish, and they'll have some seats left. And we'd just like to end with a very short prayer to Mary. So if Betty can lead us in a Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed